own sinful nature. From among the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and which is a blessing, and maybe it is being lost, is the blessing of living with safety and security, living peacefully. In other words, living in an area or in an environment where we are not plagued by crime in its different forms. That is definitely a blessing of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Kareem that Allah has promised those who do good deeds, who have got iman, that Allah will give them power on the face of the earth, and Allah will make it possible for them to practice on their deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change their fear, whatever fear they had, into peace and safety and security. So if we don't have that with us, then we must remember, my brothers, that we are missing some very important blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And depending on the nature of how much of fear we have, obviously on the amount of crime that is around us, and that will show that that is how much we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in the week, 2 weeks ago, or about 10 days ago, the Minister of Police, he released the crime statistics, and all of us heard it. So in that line, alhamdulillah, as ulama, a bayan has been prepared by the Jamiatul Ulama of South Africa, where this matter is being addressed. It's not something, you know, when we hear of crime, we say, well, that's happening all the time, there's nothing we can do about it. No. The matter has to be addressed, and while everybody is conscious about crime, we all locked our cars and came because we know what can happen if you don't lock it. We're very conscious about it. Some people, even I see, there's a nice picture going around, they're actually locking their sandals up at the masjid by the shoe racks. It was quite a hilarious little picture we saw. So we're very worried about crime. You know, crime can happen anywhere, my brothers. So when they release this particular statistic, then alhamdulillah, our ulama have prepared what is called the National Bayan. And inshallah, today we'll just make our congregation aware with certain aspects relating to crime and crime in South Africa, and what we are supposed to be doing in terms of becoming more proactive and more alert to this scourge that has overtaken the ummah. When we speak of crime, obviously we know it is defined, everybody knows that it refers to any act that constitutes an offense which is punishable, which can be or which is punishable by some or other legal punishment or penalty or whatever it might be. And obviously crime differs from country to country. So many things are maybe legitimate in another country, but they won't be permissible here, they won't be allowed here, they won't be legal here, and vice versa. And also, my respected friends and brothers, if you look at crime in terms of Islam and man-made laws of the country, there are many things in Islam that are permissible and legitimate and legal, but the laws of the country might not allow it, and vice versa. But when you speak of crime at the level that it is at this point in time, then it is a test of our iman, my brothers. It's really a test that Allah Ta'ala is putting on us. And also it is something that Allah Ta'ala is using to make us more conscious and aware of Him, that we need to wake up and wake and come more closer to Allah. We need to introspect, check our actions out, and see how much are we doing in terms of our a'mal in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is something that we are supposed to take seriously. Many countries have got different kind of challenges and tests. Some places you just find floods coming all the time. Whenever you hear there's a flood in that country, whenever you hear there's a flood, or there's a hurricane, another hurricane, or earthquake, or volcano or something. It's always happening there. So maybe there, that is their test. Here the test is of a different nature. Whatever it is something that is not good, it's something we don't like. And it is such a, it has reached such proportions, my respected friends and brothers, that we are not living in fear, we're not living in safety. We are all the time living in fear, you know, as we say, all the time looking over our shoulder. And really, that is what we have to do at this point in time. While the crime will not stop, but at least we will be more alert and it will be a deterrent. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring about a situation like He mentioned in the Quran, وَلَا يُبَدَّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. So my respected friends and brothers, it is, you know, of different nature in our country. They are the elderly people who deserve the greatest amount of respect as our citizens. Even they are not spared. Old people, old women, we find sometimes they are violated and sometimes they are murdered in different ways. And sometimes children are not spared, totally innocent, leading their lives without any care in the world. And the next thing we hear, that they are kidnapped or they are murdered, their body is found somewhere. The story that took place 2 days ago at one of the pubs, where a 6 year or 7 year old girl was violated so mercilessly. So these are the things, my respected friends and brothers, that are continuously being brought up, and it does make us gloomy also. And then besides that, the white collar crimes that are taking place on a regular basis, you know, we have heard of how Muslim business people being kidnapped, and children kidnapping is like on the rise, never heard of before, and various other things. So before we go ahead, not to make you more gloomy and sad when you leave the masjid, just one or two or three or four statistics I will read out as released by the Minister of Police from the period April 2017 till the period May 2018. Just a few categories. The very famous one we all heard, robbery of cash in transit. 238 cases. Every other day we were hearing, and sometimes we just got tired of hearing. We said like, oh, it's another one, you know, it's another one. And that happened in this particular year. And murder, 20,000. I'm just going to read it off to the closest zero, the closest thousand. 20,000 murder cases. And when we're going along, remember, these are reported cases. What is official here is normally official, but unofficial figures are much more. And then sexual violations and offenses in excess of 50,000. Robbery at residential premises. That is, robbery means hold up, not a burglary when the people are not there. 22,000. It's much more than that. 22,000 is a very conservative figure. Hijacking or carjacking, as they refer to it, 16,000. And burglary at residential premises, 228,000. 228,000. I've just taken a few categories. I've not included all here. There are quite a few mentioned. And there are some not even mentioned here. Like I mentioned, our sandals being stolen in the masjid. Also one category. Nevertheless, my respected friends and brothers. So now coming to the South African situation, we need to ask ourselves, in as far as the justice system is concerned, it has not provided the necessary guarantee of a level of security for the innocent and the law-abiding citizens of this particular country, which is meant to actually protect. So jail terms have not provided the required deterrences. People are going to jail, and they are living in jail, and many prefer to be in jail. Many of them come out of jail, they look for some opportunity to go back in jail. And the small, you know, the amateur criminals that go into jail, when they come out from there, they are trained professionals, they have learned so many things. So this whole story of being in prison is not actually sorting out the matter as it's supposed to have been sorted out. So my respected friends and brothers, we as Muslims, what is the solution? These are the problems we spoke about. We as Muslims, first of all, we must remember we have to resort to the Quran and the Hadith, where solutions have been given to us. And amongst what I mentioned is introspection. We have to look at our own amal. The ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that those who do good deeds and have got iman, one of the things is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them safety and security. Then there's another ayat of the Quran, Allah speaks about a city, about a country or a city of people that were living in a city with a lot of peace. Aminatam, mutma'inna, totally contented. Everything was coming their way. فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. Then they started showing ungratefulness. Nashukri. We started our bayan every Friday. We started the aspect of shukr. It's not just some ritual starting of a bayan. It is something that is said with consciousness. So people become ungrateful to the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them. And ungrateful is different forms. Ungratefulness, my brothers. The wastage and the extravagance that we find taking place in our lives, in our homes, in our functions, just to show and impress people, and we go to all lengths never ever heard of. And that is not even the correct way of doing things. It is against the Islamic spirit. So there are different ways where we are showing ungratefulness. So Allah says, فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. People have shown ungratefulness to the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَذَاقَهَ اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَسْنَعُونَ. Quran is saying that Allah then gave them the taste of wearing لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ, the clothing and the garment of hunger and the garment of fear. You know, when you're wearing a garment, you are fully covered. In other words, people are totally covered with fear. There isn't a single moment where they are not afraid. They are always afraid. So my respected friends and brothers, we find that, you know, in history, for example, in the Arabian Peninsula, before the advent of Islam, there was so much of crime and lawlessness. There was no law. In fact, lawlessness was the law. Yes, lawlessness was the law. There was absolutely no system. Everybody did whatever kind of crime. But what was it that changed that system and brought about such law of justice and such rules and such regulations that those people became the most law-abiding, not only citizens, but servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my respected friends and brothers, there are two things. If you look at the Quran al-Kareem and if you look at the Sharia, then we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ, that for you in retribution, there is life. Meaning what? Qisas means to retribute and to award punishment to whoever has committed a crime. Meaning which? That if you do not apply the law of Qisas and the Quranic and Shari'i law of punishment and the penal code, then there won't be life for you. Then there is going to be difficulty. Then there is going to be problem and fear, and there will be insecurity all round. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, apply the law of qisas. In other words, apply the shari'i law, and that will go away. That's the first thing. And that was what brought about the change in the Arabian Peninsula, my respected friends and brothers. Then the second thing with regard to this is that in Islam and the Sharia, it does not give preference and importance to the rights of the individual over the rights of society and community. Meaning what? That if an individual commits a crime and he is hurting the community and the society, then he needs to be sorted out. Nowadays what it is? No, he's got rights. And he got so many more rights that the poor rights of the rest of the community are forgotten. That fellow got so much rights, he is put in, the best of prisons, and he's given the best of facilities, which normal, hard-working people don't see in their entire life. And the fellow is living it up in a 5-star setup. And he's got all the rights. And with this facade of rights around him, he gets away with a lot of things, my respected friends and brothers. So therefore, in Sharia, Islamic law, community and society has to live peacefully. That is most important. And the rights of the individual who has caused hurt and harm to society and community are not given any regard. Yes, he's got whatever rights as a human being, but not the kind of rights we have nowadays. So my respected friends and brothers, that is the one thing. Now somebody mustn't think, hey, this will be so nice, you know, if Islamic law, and we hear this very often, we have to implement Islamic law, we start chopping off hands, man. No, my brothers, that's not the way. In fact, non-Muslims also say this sometimes. We've heard it on so many radio talk shows. Bring it back. So, no, it's not like that. When Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam implemented Islamic law and Shari'i law, he with it simultaneously also implemented the teachings of the Quran of uprightness and of honesty and of, you know, trustworthiness and of goodness and all the rest of that. So people were educated side by side. So it's no sense people are left uneducated, people are left to be barbarians and what, and hooligans and whatever it might be. And then we say bring Islamic law and start chopping all the heads and the hands off. That is not how it works, my respected friends and brothers. So we find that in the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what was implemented, that everyone was given proper indication or proper guidance in as far as how to conduct themselves. Employer, this is how you must treat your employee. Employee, this is how you must fulfill your rights towards your employer. Businessman, this is how you must conduct your business, not that you want to gain maximum profit out of the unwary customer who comes and you squeeze everything out of him and you oppressively take price from him which he is unable to pay for, and so forth. So my respected friends and brothers, coming to what should be done, this was what the Islamic model was, and it was a tried and the tested model, and it worked, alhamdulillah, as we explained it here. So as individuals, what do? We can't just sit back and say it's happening. And this lethargy that we find, a few weeks ago also we spoke about it, that when a community effort is being made to try and combat crime and to try and deter the criminals, and one of the things that can be done is we hire, for example, a security company. Then we look at the selfishness and we look at the apathy of some people, that I read my Ayatul Kursi and I sleep away. Alhamdulillah, Ayatul Kursi is very powerful. It's the greatest ayat in the Quran Kareem. But when it comes to a joint effort, everybody is supposed to contribute towards that, because all of us cannot be awake at night and looking after our home. So we hire somebody, but we find the apathy. So we need to know, we cannot be so laid back about it. We can't just talk about it. Table talk, we spoke about crime. You heard what happened, they shot that fellow there and they stole from that fellow and they did like this. No, we don't become like victims and just allow things to happen. We don't give up. We don't be defeatist, as you say. My respected friends and brothers, the first thing obviously is we have tawakkul. We place our trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then first you tie your camel and then tawakkul, trust on Allah is the most important thing. We're not denying that. Only that what Allah ta'ala wills is going to happen. And we put our full trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But with it, we have to undertake and institute some practical measures also. Active measures. You lock your car, you lock your door, you put on your alarm. Not that you leave everything open, doors, windows open and everything, in a crime-ridden area and say, I make tawakkul on Allah and everything will be fine. Inshallah, everything will be fine. But the correct thing to do is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tie your camel and then place trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing is knowledge is power. In this sense, that we need to know our environment, my respected friends and brothers. Be totally informed at all times in as far as what is happening. So you might have your police forum, you might have your neighborhood watch, and alhamdulillah, now we've got what we call our WhatsApp, our social media group that deals with, you know, specifically with security and crime issues. So be totally connected at all times and be aware of it. Read it, check it out, be alert. If you are called upon and you are in the area, do whatever has to be done. If you know what is happening and if you are aware, then that serves as a very, very great deterrent. Know your neighbors, know your street, know your neighbor's phone number also. You must know that, because sometimes something might be happening in your yard and the only person you can alert to is the neighbor, or something happened in the neighbor's yard and you hear the voices and the noises. If you don't have his number, how are you going to alert him? So knowledge in this sense is power, my respected friends and brothers. Then there are lots of initiatives, alhamdulillah, that are being undertaken in different ways. Like we mentioned, many years ago we had that neighborhood watch. It ran for a good few years. Then obviously it fizzled out. But we have got this other one which we speak about regularly. And again, we appeal to our brothers that this is not something that is now a joke anymore or something that can just be passed. It is a serious matter, my respected friends and brothers. So we have to take every kind of measure to secure ourselves. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once there was a noise in Medina Munawwara. A loud explosion took place. Some noise. Mentioned in the books of hadith. All the sahaba were worried. What happened? And nobody actually went out. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already went out and he checked and he came back. That's the time the sahaba group were getting up and going to find out. He says, oh people, don't worry. Everything is fine. I already checked out. Nothing to worry about. Often we also hear gunshots here. Alhamdulillah, we find immediately it is reported on the social media and people go and investigate. And Allah rewards some people, their names are regularly, I'm on my way. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect such people and may Allah put more people like that who can be on their way. Because it's not about you, it's about our entire community. And there's nothing greater than taking care of your community. The hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there are two eyes that will not burn in the fire. One is that eye that stayed awake and cried out of the fear of Allah. And the other eye is that stayed awake in caring for the community, what is called ribat. So my respected friends and brothers, these are some of the things. There are a few other things that have also been mentioned. One is the aspect of reporting crime. Some of us don't report the crime. We need to report the crime, because when we report the crime, we have this attitude, man, the cops say so useless, what are they going to do? No, that's very wrong. They're not useless. They'll do whatever they can do. But a statistic has been recorded. And we don't know from there how it can be followed up. Very briefly, in a few seconds, I'll tell you. Good few years ago, somebody broke into my house. I was out. They broke into the bathroom, they stole a pair of sandals. They couldn't go further because alarm triggered. I reported it and I forgot about it. They came, they took fingerprints, what was stolen? I said, only a pair of sandals. Okay. They don't steal sandals in the masjid, you see. 7 years later, there was a spate of robberies here. You will recall, people were breaking in from the ceilings and coming in through the trap doors. A police came to my house. He said, I believe you had a robbery. I said, no, I had no robbery. It must have been the other house they've been breaking. He says, no. You reported this 7 years ago. We caught the crook. And he had his photo. And I even forgot. He said, and he stole a pair of blue sandals. So my respected friends, report the crime. So I said, how you caught this fellow? He said, this fellow has been busy. We caught him in nail spray. So he's had a string of, crimes behind him. Please, my brothers, the point I'm making is report the crime. And lastly, know your environment, your neighborhood, and take appropriate measures. Discourage loitering and vagrancy. Alhamdulillah, we're taking a lot of initiative in that. People are reporting somebody is being seen. And let the person know you're watching him. And let him know he's being surveillanced by you, so they'll move away quickly from here. But don't make any more actions that might cause your life to be in danger. Be very careful with regard to the young. Even when we are now in the shopping malls, look at your child, if you can tie him up to the trolley also, because 1 minute, and the women got this problem, 1 minute they'll be looking at some very nice fashion thing, and the child is gone. So be very, very alert with regard to the children. Don't just take them and let them run around. People are being picked up just like that. And my brothers, lastly, we have these groups, you know, which is specifically dedicated to security and safety. Don't put all wazifas there and Juma Mubarak messages there and some people's advice will get something very nice. Those groups must be left clear and free only to report crime. Very, very important. Anytime we find that, you know, people become angry here also. They say, please, and they remove such people, which is a good thing to do also. Keep those WhatsApp groups as clear as possible only to report crimes. And in this way, inshallah, we will be able to work together. And there are lots of du'as. Make your Yasin Sharif, read your Ayatul Kursi, read the du'as of safety and security. Place your trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in addition to all the other physical measures.